Hello, everybody. Thank you very much once again for joining me on my parenting podcast. I'm very excited to be here this week because I have a subject that I would really like to talk about that may come across a little controversial, but I really have to start speaking about what I think about education and what I think about parenting. And I'd really like to share this subject with you. So the title of this podcast is We Need to Stop Labelling Our Children and Take Responsibility to Teach Them. And I think, you know, having been in the industry for such a long time now, I think I see more and more often these days, unfortunately, in my opinion, now I'm not saying that always that my opinion is correct, but in my opinion of what I see, there's a lot of children who are labelled. And I do see the autism label and the ADHD label coming through so many times now. Now, I'm going to make a point really clear before I go further. I truly believe in early intervention, and where I see a real need for a child to be referred to, you know, early years, to professionals, then I will do it. And, you know, I see children regularly that need extra support and additional support. So I am the first to make sure that early intervention, when it's needed, is absolutely there. There's an awful lot that goes into making sure that a child gets what they need. There's an awful lot of interactions and communications and paperwork and all of that. But if I see a little one that really has additional needs and I think that there should be a referral, I am all for taking that on board and making sure that child gets exactly what they need at every step of the way. And the other thing to share is that, you know, it's very unlikely in early years, I've worked in the earlier settings for a very long time, it's very unlikely that in an early year setting you get an EHCP, and that's an educational healthcare plan, and that is usually made and referred to when a child has additional needs, and it really helps them to get all of the support, all of the additional funding, the one-to-one care that they need. But most of the time they come by the time the child is in school. And I think you could think from an early years point of view, what's the point? What's the point in us referring a child when usually the EHCP comes into place when that child is in school? And what I want to make the point of is that if I see a little one that needs that additional support, I may not benefit in the nursery with additional funding, and we may need to provide care and attention to that little one ourselves. But what I do make sure is that all of that funding, all of that EHCP work is done so that it's easier when he gets to school, when she gets to school, that they do have that support in place ready to go. So it may not benefit us directly, but I do like to make sure, and that's where I take it so seriously, and that's the point I'm trying to make. I take it really seriously if a little one does need that extra support, and I will go the extra mile to make sure that they have everything they need by the time they start school. And then you know, then there's the flip side of it, where I think that sometimes what we need to do is take a step back and really understand our role. Now, whether that's the role of parenting or whether that's the role in as a teacher, I think we need to take a step back sometimes and wonder if early intervention is needed or whether a really good understanding of the developing child is needed. And this is the part that could be quite controversial, because I think some people might not agree with me here, but sometimes we have challenging behaviours, and I always have another little one coming through the ranks all the time with challenging behaviours. And I think it's very easy to blame the child for those challenging behaviours. And like I keep saying, you know, if early intervention is needed, then it's early intervention that I will get for that child. But I also do think, and I do believe, that a child needs time to settle into themselves. They've been on this planet, by the time they come to us at nursery, they're two maybe, and even younger in a lot of settings, but they come to us when they're two. They've been on this planet 24 months. You know, that's a really, it's nothing. It's nothing at all. And I think that when you've got a child with challenging behaviour, you have to take a step back and say, how am I interacting with that child? Whether you're a parent or whether you're a teacher, how are you interacting with your child to make sure that their emotional well-being is actually tuned into and supported? Because so very, very, very many times I see that a parent might come to me or a practitioner might come to me and the child gets the blame. You know, the child won't listen, the child won't do as they're told, they won't stop, they keep running around, they're not listening, they're not sitting down, they're not going to bed on time, they're not eating their dinner, they're having a tantrum when they fancy it. It's all about them. It's their problem, they're the fault, they're the ones in need. Okay, and then very quickly, we can then turn around and say, well, he's not fitting in, he's not, you know, he's standing out from the rest, he's not doing as he's told, therefore we need a referral. And then, you know, the referral people come in, the professionals come in, and goodness knows who what happens next. But, you know, but I really stop and I take a step back and I think, do we need a referral at this point, or do we need to look at the environment and the people around him or her and make sure that that child is very well supported in their individual needs? And, you know, most of the time when I've worked with children like this, I've either had a good conversation with the parents and they're finding it difficult. It is difficult to interact with your child when they're, you know, kicking off, when they're having tantrums, when they're having a meltdown for the umpteenth time of the day. And your, you know, your stress bucket is completely full and you've had enough. But we have to take that step back and say, what's my responsibility here? My responsibility is to that child and making sure that we interact with them on a level that they really understand. Every child comes with emotional behaviour. Every child comes with emotions that they need to learn how to manage. They don't just do that miraculously on their own. They actually need us to teach them, to show them, to guide them, to support them, especially when they're in times of meltdown. Now, any parent I will ask, I say, what, you know, what is the one thing you want for your child? And I'll ask you the same question. What is the one thing? What do you want your child to be? 99.9% of people will say, I want my child to be happy. And while I agree with that, I also agree with the fact that it's pretty unrealistic that, you know, you cannot expect your child to be happy all the time, you know. And I think it's our responsibility to help them understand this range of emotions. You know, when you come back to being an adult, you label all the emotions you go through, even in a day, let alone a week, I was going to say there. Let's have a look at all the emotions that you go through in a day. You get up, you might feel a bit grumpy and a bit groggy. You might go off to the bathroom thinking, oh, I wish I didn't have to go to work today, and feeling a bit moody about that. You might snap at your partner for, you know, picking the wrong cup out of the cupboard or something. And then, of course, you drive to work and you have a go at somebody there. And then you put the radio on, you feel happy again and you start singing again. And then you get to work and actually life's not that bad and you get on with the day. You have a bit of a laugh with somebody, you have your lunch, you get a bit moody when you, you know, you have your lunch, or you're in the afternoon and your boss has a bit of a grumble at you and you think, miserable, what's it? But, you know, you think of all the emotions that you go through in your day, you understand what they are. You understand that when you get out of bed on the wrong side, you're just getting out of bed on the wrong side in the morning, and you're not feeling that great. So, but you know how to fix it. You know what to do with it. You know how to then self-regulate, take yourself out of the situation, go make yourself a coffee if you're at work and the boss has been a bit grumpy, and then you come back a little bit more refreshed. But of course, when we put ourselves in the shoes of our children, they don't know that. They don't know how to do that. They have no idea how to manage those emotions. And then, of course, they just flip out. That is the only way a child knows how to deal with these emotions, is they deal with it very much so in the moment and they flip out. So what might seem like we might need to just take a step back and go and get a coffee, for our children, they don't know how to do that. So they just start hitting, or they just start crying. They just start lashing out. And of course, if that happens too many times, we start labelling our children. And I think what we, and then of course it gets too much, and then you as a parent or a teacher can't deal with it. And then the overpowering authoritarian styles of teaching and parenting come full swing, you know, and then the child starts getting told off. They're not doing as they're told. You might start asking someone else for help. And oh my God, my child won't do as they're told. You know, I'm having tantrums all over the place. But actually, what we're doing, we're not taking that step back and saying, okay, what does my child need? That is the first thing that we should be asking ourselves when our child is having that meltdown yet again, is taking a step back and saying, what do they need from me? It's not about us fixing them suddenly, and it's not us about being overpowering with them and telling them to sit down and stop it and pack it in and do as you're told and go to your room and sort yourself out. That's not what they need at that point. They don't need somebody mirroring their actions. It's like I heard this lovely saying the other day that if you're drowning out at sea, the last person you need is somebody coming out there drowning with you. What you need is somebody actually coming out there and saying, what do you need? Can I help you? Let's go. Let me take your hand and off we go. We go in. You start looking for that leader, that person that can actually support you. And that's no different to our children in the fact that that's exactly what they need. If they're drowning out there in their emotions because they don't know what to do with them, it's all that's going to happen is that their stress bucket keeps getting fuller and fuller and fuller. And they need us, their teacher or their parent, to come out and say, what do you need? Let me sit with you for a minute. And I know that's difficult. I mean, it's a difficult, it's not so difficult, actually. I keep saying it's difficult, but I think when you really understand child development and you really understand why children do what they do, and I'm talking mainly children in their early years, so pre-7, when you really understand what's going on in their brain and why they're doing what they're doing, actually makes life a lot easier for you in the fact that you then can ask that question, what do you need from me? Rather than kicking off yourself and mirroring their behaviour, because children at this point, pre-7, they literally just take on all information. They don't question it. They don't ask anything about it. Everything that just comes at them, they just store in their brain as this must be right. Okay, so if you're mirroring that child and you're shouting at them and they're shouting at you, in their brain, they're thinking, okay, you're right, I'm wrong. You shouting must be the right thing. I must be the wrong thing to be doing here. It doesn't help them. You need to do the complete opposite of what they're doing. And if they're having a complete meltdown, it's a case of, what can I do to help you? What do you need from me? So I think it would be really worth you next time. And there's always a next time because, you know, children do push our buttons. We can't help it. We do get triggered by them, whether a teacher or whether you're a parent. More so you let your emotions fly if you're a parent, of course, because they're your child. It's different. But, you know, I've seen too many authoritarian teachers in my time that, you know, children go down that ladder. I mean, that's another conversation. I can't bear the ladder in the classroom where you all start in the middle and you go up to the rainbow and you go down. Oh, you go down to the rain and then off you go out of the classroom. Does that really help them? I really disagree that helps them because, you know, if a child is in need at that point, yes, of course, we need to teach them. And we, you know, there are certain rules that we have to follow. I understand that. But I do think that it just doesn't help a child to go down that ladder and then send them away and tell them off. And I see too many overpowering authoritarian styles of teaching. Even now, we really have to be looking at that and thinking, is there another way here? Because there is another way. I don't even think there is. I know there's another way that we can actually interact with our children. And it's all about learning about what our triggers are. It's understanding how we can self-regulate, especially in those times where there's high emotions going on. It's your responsibility to step back, to take that deep breath 3 or 4 times, to quickly get yourself a drink, and ground yourself into asking that question, what do you need from me? And then you go back and you give your child what they need from you. And usually that is time. They need time. They need effort. They need you to sit with them. They need to feel your energy and they need to feel that they can calm down with you. You know, they can't do it on their own. A child that is just sent off and sent out of the classroom or sent up to their room to sort themselves out, they do go quiet eventually, but it's usually through fear. It's not because they've actually learned how to self-regulate and, you know, let's give them a little bit of tough loving and you go off and sort yourself out and sort your emotions out. It's not like that. Children won't be able to do that. They actually need you pre-7, most of all. They need you to be able to co-regulate with them because they can't bring their emotions and their emotional overwhelm down without co-regulating with you first. And that's the time mainly to tune into them. So coming back to my original, you know, let's stop labelling our children and take responsibility. I think it's really easy just to start considering, well, you know, start considering, is it because I can't handle my child's behaviour and I need to actually go and get some support to actually help them? Or do I need to start labelling my child? Because I guarantee you 90% of the time you do not need to start labelling your child. And it's like, okay, you start labelling your child with, you know, they might be on the spectrum or they might have ADHD. I mean, ADHD, you know, I'm not belittling it in a million years, and I know it's a very serious condition, but it is being thrown around way more than we'd want it to be right now. And I think that we have to take that responsibility and step back and think, okay, what is it they need from us? You know, to help them, because if you label them with ADHD or they're on the spectrum, you still need to manage them, because every child will still need to be interacted with and taught and guided and shown how to deal with life, but at their level of what they can cope with and their level of understanding. You know, so whether we label them or not, you're still going to be in the same position. And I just think it's well worth taking that step back and thinking to yourself, do I understand my child well enough? Do I know enough about what's going on in their brain? You know, do I understand why he's doing what he's doing? Or are you simply reacting to the fact that you're presented with a child that is having tantrums and meltdowns, and you're trying to fix it and you're trying to stop it and you're trying to tell them what to do? And children are no different to us, because we don't like being told what to do as adults. You know, that we really don't like being told what to do. It comes back to the authoritarian type boss, doesn't it? The one who tells you what to do, the person who is more important than you, the person who goes home first, the person who, you know, gets all the prizes and you don't. You're just the one, just keep grinding on. You're not going to last very long. And you get a choice as to whether you stay with that boss or not. Whereas, you know, we all want that leader. We don't want to be told what to do. We want to have that leader that teaches us and guides us and shows us and congratulates us and is our champion and the one who's putting us forward and listening to us and all of that. That's the kind of person that we want to be managed by. And I think our children are no different. They don't want to be told what to do, but they don't have anywhere to go with it, you see, because we're the adult. We're supposed to be the one who knows what we're doing all the time. And of course, if we're just lording it at them that, you know, you'll do as you're told or else type thing, we're not actually helping them with their emotions at all. And then consequently, you're likely to be going down that road of ADHD or you know, being on the autistic spectrum, because what else do you do? So I just think you need to take a step back. I keep saying the same thing, but taking a step back and really understanding child development, understanding why your child is doing what you're doing, and asking yourself, what do you need from me? What can I do to ground myself? What can I do to make myself feel better in this moment? And how can I then anchor in and be that safe harbour for our child to be able to support them when they're having their most emotional meltdown, and just see what we can do for them to help them co-regulate? And I think if we really learnt more about that, then I honestly think we'd probably have less, you know, referrals going on, really. And again, I'm not saying that we don't refer children. Of course, if I see, I'll just say it again so that it's not too controversial, if I see a child who, you know, is showing signs of additional needs and that an early intervention is needed, I'm all for that. But I just don't want to keep labeling our children, and I just think we have to do something about it, and we have to take responsibility for ourselves to be able to interact with our children and give them a different outcome. So that's my thoughts for today. Leave me a note, let me know what you think. I am in the process, as I said on my last podcast, of relaunching my podcast, which is pretty exciting. So I'm working in the background to do that. There'll be some information coming out about it. And like I always say, you might get that little intro of music and a proper introduction than me just launching into my podcast. But I am really enjoying it, and I'm getting some really good comments back from you all. So leave me a comment. Let me know what you think. And I shall speak to you next time.